said. "Oh, I expect you think he is," said Dibbler, "but you've just got to look at the two of them. On the one hand, there's this bright, alert, handsome animal, and on the other, there's this dust ball with a hangover. I mean, no contest, am I right?" The Wonder Dog gave a brisk yap.
What's this place? Good boy, laddie."
Gaspode rolled his eyes.
"See what I mean?" said Dibbler. "Give him the right name, a bit of training, and a star is born."
He slapped Victor on the back again.
"Nice to see you. Nice to see you. Drop in again any time, only not too frequently. Let's have lunch sometime. Now get out. Sol?"
"Coming, Uncle."
Victor was suddenly alone, apart from the dogs and the room full of people. He took the cigar out of his mouth, spat on the glowing end, and carefully hid it behind a potted plant.
"The star is whelped,"
said a small, withering voice from behind.
"What's he say? Where's this place?"
"Don't look at me," said Victor. "Nothing to do with me."
"Will you just look at it? I mean, are we talking thicker or city here or what?"
sneered Gaspode.
"Good boy, laddie."
"Come on," said Victor. "I'm supposed to be on set in 5 minutes. Gaspode trailed after him, muttering under his horrible breath. Victor caught the occasional, "Old rug," and "Man's best friend," and "Bloody wonder, bloody dog." Finally, he couldn't stand it any longer.
"You're just jealous," he said. "What of an overgrown puppy with a single-figure IQ?"
sneered Gaspode.
"And a glossy coat, cold nose, and probably a pedigree as long as your arm."
"Well, as my arm," said Victor.
"Pedigree? Pedigree? What's a pedigree? It's just breeding. I had a father too, you know, and 2 granddads and 4 great-granddads, and many of them were the same dog even. So don't you tell me from no pedigree,"
said Gaspode. He paused to cock a leg against one of the supports of the new Home of the Century of the Fruit Bat Moving Pictures sign. That was something else that puzzled Thomas Silverfish. He'd come in this morning, and the hand-painted sign saying "Interesting and Instructive Films" had gone, and had been replaced by this huge billboard. He was sitting back in the office with his head in his hands, trying to convince himself that it had been his idea.
"I'm the one holy wooed called," Gaspode muttered in a self-pitying voice. "I came all the way here, and then they chose that great airy thing. Probably it'll work for a plate of me today, too."
"Well, look, maybe you weren't called to Holywood to be a wonder dog," said Victor. "Maybe it's got something else in mind for you." This is ridiculous, he thought. Why are we talking about it like this? A place hasn't got a mind. It can't call people to it. Well, unless you count things like homesickness. But you can't be homesick for a place you've never been to before. It stands to reason. The last time people were here must have been thousands of years ago. Gaspode sniffed at a wall.
"Did you tell Dibbler everything I told you?" he said.
"Yes, he was very upset when I mentioned about going to Untied Alchemists," Gaspode sniggered.
"And you told him what I said about a verbal contract not being worth the paper it's printed on?"
"Yes, he said he didn't understand what I meant, but he gave me a cigar, and he said he'd pay for me and Ginger to go to Ankh-Morpork soon. He said he's got a really big picture planned."
"What is it?" said Gaspode suspiciously.
"He didn't say."
"Listen, lad," said Gaspode. "Dibbler's making a fortune. I counted it. There were $5,273.52 on Sol's desk, and you earned it. Well, you and Ginger did."
"Gosh."
"Now, there's some new words I want you to learn," said Gaspode. "Think you can?"
"I hope so."
"Per cent age of the gross," said Gaspode. "There, think you can remember it?"
"Per cent age of the gross," said Victor.
"Good lad."
"What does it mean?"
"Don't you worry about that," said Gaspode. "You just have to say it's what you want, okay? When the time's right."
"When will the time be right, then?" said Victor.
Gaspode grinned nastily. "Oh, I reckon when Dibbler's just got a mouthful of food, it'd be favourite."
Holywood Hill bustled like an ant-heap. On the seaward side, Firwood Studios were making The Third Gnome. Microlithic Pictures,